With me to Luke chapter 8.
Luke chapter 8. God's word is precious. God's word is alive.
It is teaching us. It is God's own message to you and me. It really is. This is so very, very, very precious that God has actually done this, given us his word. And I'm thankful you're here to hear
the word of God. Luke chapter 8.
Any of you have parents who were farmers? How about anybody here had a parent who was a farmer? Anybody? Yeah, okay, there you go. I might ask who were farmers here, but we don't have so many. We're in the suburbs. But if you have a parent who is a farmer, you understand you can take the person, the man out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the man, right? It's always there because a farmer loves to farm. He loves to soil. He loves to grow plants, grow trees, grow fruit, grow these wonderful things that we eat, that we take for granted every day, and thank the Lord for our farmers who produce those crops that we have in our grocery stores, and it came from somebody, it came from farmers. Well, Jesus is going to give an illustration from farming because that was so common in Israel at that time. They were sowing seed and reaping a harvest. And they understood about farming, and so he's going to give an illustration about that. Luke chapter 8, verse 1, now it came to pass afterwards that he, Jesus, went preaching and bringing through every city and village the glad tidings. That is the good news, the gospel. And more than just the plain, simple gospel, but the fullness of the gospel. The gospel is a full message that God has given to us. And a wonderful message. And Jesus systematically did that through all the villages. I can just think through the Galilee area there, the different villages in that area that he went through and proclaimed the gospel systematically throughout all that region. And we have a job too, by the way, systematically share the gospel. Got 1,600 houses around here, right around our church. And we're the central church for, and we can do that with this community, and we want to reach our community for Christ. And this is about reaching out with the gospel, the good news, to people. He proclaimed the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Now, he did it with his 12 disciples. That is, he didn't do it alone. He had them with him. And that's important because, you see, he was not just sharing the gospel. He was teaching them how to do it as well. When Suzanne goes on this mission trip, she'll learn from people who are actually doing this, translation work, and planting churches and growing those churches. And we can do the same as we learn from those of us who share the gospel. I had the chance of sharing the gospel several times this last week, and with wonderful, wonderful results. And Pastor Joe does the same thing, and we are seeing people born again in our church. And you may not realize that. We're not going to try to make a big deal about it, but I want you to know that is happening, that people are being born again right here in this church. And one of my goals is, after the Truth Project, I'll probably take 3 weeks, and we'll have a membership class. But after that, in the adult Sunday school, my plan is to teach a class on discipleship and sharing the gospel. That is the plan that I have, and I want to have many of you join us and be prepared to share with people so you'll have friends and neighbors and work associates who'll be in heaven forever because you've learned to share the gospel with them. And a pastor did that for me, taught me how to do that. And I'll do the same for as many of you as can come. I'd really love to do that for you. Now, so they were with him. And then sharing the gospel, people being born again, is not the only fruit that we have in our lives. Here's another fruit, an example of another kind of fruit, and this fruit is the fruit of giving. And a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, way up in the monarchy there. And Susanna and many others who provided for him with their substance. In other words, here's the fruit of giving. That is also a fruit that we can have, is as we give. Whether we give, you know, we may have a very small income and yet be generous with that income. And it may seem small, but before God's eyes, it's big. Remember the widow who gave two mites? Well, I have two mites at home, and they're little teeny coins about the size of a pea, except flat, of course. And they're very tiny. And yet she gave, and God recognized her generosity out of the little she had. And see, God is not interested in if we're you know, really wealthy and giving a lot, or if we're, you know, whether we're poor and giving less. He's interested in our heart. They were having a giving heart, you see. And we're giving people. That's what he's interested in. So he cares about this kind of fruit as well. Now, Jesus explained now the effects of the gospel that he'd been sharing. So he'd been sharing the gospel all across the Galilee area to all these towns and villages. And he explained something that we need to know about as we share the good news. Because we may get discouraged if we share the good news and the person doesn't believe, or we share the good news and they don't seem to be growing right. Guess what? Jesus had these things happen to him. And if he had these things happen to him, we're going to have them happen to us as well. Four kinds of soil, and the seed is going to be sown in these four kinds of soil. Now, the seed would have been grain, and the farmer would have gone out and scattered the grain across the different kinds of soil. And you have their picture of the farmer sharing. And you'll see on the left-hand side the furrows of good soil. And then you'll see rock. Do you see the rock next to it? And then next to that are weeds, and next to that's a path. So you have four kinds of soil illustrated right in that one picture of the sharing of the good news pictured by a farmer spreading the seeds. And some of them are going to spread out over to those different areas. Now, it's important when we think about this that the man sowing, he sowed the seed in all these different areas. And you may think, well, I've got this grouchy old guy at my work, and he's such a bum, and he would never believe. Well, I'm not going to bother sharing with him, you know, even though he sort of seems to express some interest in the fact that I'm a Christian. Nah, I'm not going to bother. The sower sowed the seed, and some of it did fall in each of these kinds of areas. So we don't skip the guy that's hard, and we don't skip the people that seem to be choked by riches. We don't skip any of them. We share the gospel with anybody who the Lord gives us opportunity to share the gospel with. And the gospel is wonderful. The gospel is good. We need to make sure people understand how good the gospel is, how good the good news is. Now, it says, and when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, and he spoke a parable. And here's the parable of the four soils, or the four listeners. A sower went out to sow his seed, and some of the seed fell on the wayside, or the path. Now, this was way back before they had paved roads. They would have a big field area, and then they'd have the next field and the next field, and they'd have a path going down so the different villagers could walk to their own field, and they'd all walk along that same path right between the fields. And so the path is right next to the field of these different farmers. So he's sowing the seed, spreading it out like this, and some of it's going to fall on the path, on the hard path. And the Bible tells us two things about that path. That is, that the seed that he sowed on was trampled on. Someone, you know, went along, there was a little bit of seed on the path, and it got stepped on and squashed. And then guess what came down? The what? Somebody? The birds came down, and they hungry, and so they ate the seed on the path, because there it was on the hard path, and it couldn't be covered by the soil. And so the birds ate the seed. Next is the rocky soil. Some fell on rock. Now, that rock is singular. That is a rocky area where the whole area is underlain by limestone. Especially in the north of Israel, you just have whole areas that are underlain by limestone. And some of it comes up, and then between it are little crevices of soil. And some of it fell in those crevices in the soil. And two things happened there as well. It says, and as soon as it sprang up, there was the winter rains had watered that little bit of soil, down the crevice, and then the spring rains, and then the farmer goes out and sows the seed, and so it springs up. But in Israel, there are two seasons, the wet, rainy season, and the dry summer season. Wet winter, dry summer. And as soon as the summer came along, all the moisture got dried up, and I've seen those, it's just so dry, it just really is. And the seed withered and didn't produce any fruit. It did not grow beyond just that little bit. It says it withered away because it lacked moisture. And then verse 7, and some fell among thorns.
Now,
in Israel, you're talking about a different kind of thorn than you are here, because they're monstrous. They really are. I'll show you in just a moment. We'll see the kinds of thorns that are there. But anyway, it fell among thorns, and they choked it out, the Bible says. And then some fell in fruitful soil, but it says, but others fell on good ground, and two things happened. It sprang up, and it yielded a crop of 30, 60, or 100-fold. It yielded a fabulous crop. We want to see God working in our church and fruitfulness in our church. I'm very serious about that. My goal is that we, under the authority of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, be the most biblical church we can be. That's my goal, the most biblical church we can be. I'm serious about that. To God's glory. That's my goal. Real simple, one sentence. The most biblical church we can be. And I'd like you to join me in that. Just be the most biblical people, the most biblical church we can be, and then see what God does. I believe God can do great things, and we'll see that. And we can see fruitfulness in our church as a result. Now, a parable is both to reveal and to hide.
That sounds odd, but that's what Jesus said. The parable here
does both. He said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That is, God has graciously explained to us things that are beyond the world's understanding. God has given us mysteries revealed in his word. And we can know those things because God has revealed them. And yet, at the same time, but to the rest, to others, it is given in parables. And you may think, why is it given in parables? Well, it's given in parables to them because these people were rejecting the light they had. They rejected it. They rejected the message of Jesus. And God's not obligated to give them more light. If they reject the message, that may be it for them. I mean, it's sad, but it's true that if they reject the message, in a sense, it's merciful that God doesn't give them more light, because then they'd be more guilty because of having more light. And so God can be giving things to people in parables so they've understood enough to hear the good news, and then they've rejected it. And very sadly, when they've rejected it, that may be the end of the light received by them. The rest may be hidden from them. It says that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Notice God is not obligated to give them more light once they've rejected the light they have. Now, back to the four soils. One kind of seed, the gospel, same for everybody. The gospel is the same. The spreading it out is for everybody, but the receivers, the hearers, are four different kinds. The hard soil, those by the wayside, or path, are the ones who hear, as they heard the message, and the path is where people would walk. And so the seed, you see, is the word of God. The seed is not our ideas. The seed is the word of God. This is the message right here. The Bible message, the gospel is right here. It's not our ideas. It's not psychology. It's not something. That's why I preach through the word of God. Is the seed is the word of God. And that's what was being spread. But the hard soil are those by the wayside or path, the ones who hear. They hear the message, but it stops there. And you have these hard paths all through Israel. Now, got Those are obviously Americans, by the way. Any Israeli would not look like that and not be walking like that. It would be well tanned. Those are Americans walking along there. They're tourists. But they're walking down the down the Israel trail. There's a trail from north of Israel all the way to the south. They're walking down that trail. And John, by the way, has walked from north to south all the way along that trail, or at least almost all of it. That trail is hard because all the people walking on it. So the seed that falls on the hard trail, the Bible gives that as an illustration that something happens to it. The illustration was the birds of the air coming along and eat it, but the interpretation is this. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts that they should, lest they should believe and be saved. Not God. God doesn't keep them from being saved. God's desire is to all believe, but the desire of people, some people, and the desire of the devil is unfortunately the other way. And unfortunately, they really do choose. Some people choose that way. And I've shared the gospel with people, and they've said no. And it's a sad thing when that happens, but it does happen sometimes. It has eternal consequences when they do that. They've had their opportunity, and they chose not to. Now, you wonder, you know, why people do that. Well, look at the world system around us and tell me, is it conducive to people hearing and believing the gospel, or is it not? See, it's not. I mean, the music going, the entertainment, I mean, morning to night entertainment, you know, just takes one's mind away from the real reality that there is a creator, that this universe didn't just happen. There is a savior who actually came and died for us. I mean, he's real. But the entertainment in the world today, oh my, it just takes away from that. It is negative toward the gospel, and no surprise there because the world is following the way of Satan and his evil beings and those human beings who follow him. And so you do have a negative world out there that is really against the good news of the gospel. Yet there's this, that the sower sowed, and some of the seed did fall on the path. Let's remember, that tough, hard guy, share the gospel with him if he's open at all, as far as he's open. If he says no, then you accept that. You just honor that, but you can share the gospel with him, even though he is hard, and God may do something special in his life. Now, for those people who are hard, the Bible says this, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. God can save hard people. God can save hard people. And there are testimonies of people in our churches that they were hard, and yet God saved them. I had the privilege of being born again as a child, and I didn't have that experience. But there are hard people that have been saved, and thank the Lord for that, that he can do that. He does do that. But it's our responsibility to share the gospel, and some may believe. Now, the rocky soil. But the ones on the rock are those who, and then explains, now I want to go in your mind's eye to Israel, and that is a rocky soil. Do you see that? Look at that. I want you to see it. You don't see that in Lombard. But that is a very common sight in Israel. Now, you see the plants are going to have a hard time there. And if any of the seed fell on those rocky area, they're going to do poorly. And the situation is this, that rocky soil, limestone, underlying all that area, again, it has little bits of cracks in it. And in this little bits of cracks, a little teeny bit of soil, and then fall, winter, spring rains fall on it, and a little bit of seed in there, of course it grows, and then comes the summer that is so hot, and dry, and it is dry, believe me. I did archaeology in Israel, and my, did we drink? I mean, we'd take these 2 or 3 gallon bottles with us, not these little liter, you know, the little teeny bottles we have in America. You don't take those, you take great big ones, and you drink through a couple of them because it's so hot and so dry. And the seed would spring up, but then it would dry out and it would wither away. And that withering away is something that is a real concern. Now, there's a second situation. A little further south in Israel, you have pretty good soil, but underneath it will be a lot of rocks. And the farmers and the volunteers will go, and they'll have to pick the rocks up every spring out of the field. And so you have two possible situations here. You have the seed falling into the little crevice. It doesn't really grow. And you have it falling into soil where there's rock underneath it. And you can pull the rock out, and it'll grow reasonably. The Bible doesn't tell us for sure, is this person born again or not? And so you could say, well, this person either is one of two things. And that is this. The person can be, and this is a very serious thing that I'm going to say, the person can be one who has heard the information and, oh, that sounds good. I don't go to hell. Y'all say the words. It's called easy believism. And it is it's a sad thing because they're not really born again. Oh, yeah, say the words does not save them. Truly believing in Jesus is one Savior is only what saves people. And I've unfortunately had this experience with a couple people. I'm afraid they weren't truly born again. And then there's also the possibility that the person is truly born again, but just doesn't grow well. Now, the next kind of soil is the weed-choked soil. Now, I want to say real carefully to each of you, dear people, that we need to be fruitful soil. This weed-choked soil is soil in Israel where you have thistles. Now, you've seen thistles about this high, right? You know what the thistles in Israel are like? They're up here. I am not joking. Near the archaeology site where we had, there's a path that goes back. Those are a bunch of Americans. The path goes back through the bunch of thistles to a church that we did some archaeology work on. We uncovered the oldest church in Galilee, as far as we know. There's some reasons for that I'm not going to go into. But you have to go back through this path, and the thistles are that tall. Now, you plant some wheat down under those thistles, it'll sprout, but it won't grow much. Now, the point is, the thistles, friends, are the things, all the stuff, all the entertainment of this world that chokes out God's giving us a fruitful life. We can, now there's nothing wrong with owning things. I'm not against owning things. It is where our heart is. Is it in all the things, or is it in God's work and God's kingdom and God's message and God's sharing through us the good news of salvation? The question is, where is our heart? Is it in the things and the entertainment? That's going to choke out the good growth that God intended. In other words, this illustration illustrates a person who's probably born again and grows a little, but never is fruitful. Now, fruit can be a bunch of things. We mentioned that fruit was giving. Fruit can be the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit can be caring for one another, helping each other. It can be sharing the good news. It can be discipling. It can be teaching in Sunday school. It can be doing Awana, doing VBS. All those things are fruit. And we want to be fruitful people. It says, it brings no fruit to maturity. See, there's the problem, is this plant grows, this person grows a little, but never brings fruit to maturity. And that's what we want to do, we want to bring fruit to maturity. The last kind of soil, the fourth soil, is the fruitful soil. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Now, this is not just a person born again. This is a person who lives by the Bible. See, my goal for our church is to be as biblical as a people as we can, a biblical church as we can be. This is the person who keeps the word of God. That is, does what the Bible says and is, as a result, fruitful in a number of those good ways. I mean, there's all kinds of ways of being fruitful. Let's be fruitful in our living biblically, in our giving, in our sharing the gospel, and discipling and teaching. All those different ways we want to be fruitful by keeping God's word. And it says, and bear fruit with patience.
In other words, we need to keep doing it year after year. You know, not saying, well, I did something way back in 1932. You know, as I'm done,
I did something for the Lord when I was 6 years old, or whatever it is. Okay? You know, we don't want to stop there. We want to do things all our lives. And I appreciate Lucy, by the way. She's got a few years, and she's still singing the praise of the Lord. Let's do that. We want to be fruitful all our lives. And what was the result? The result was that this was a fruitful seed, yield fruit. Now, three things about being fruitful, and that is we can be more fruitful. One, by preparing the soil. The farmer prepares the soil, you see. When we share the gospel, share it thoroughly so the person understands. Don't just tell them, okay, now believe in Jesus. Explain it. Second thing is we can also be fruitful by follow-up. That is, we help them grow. And third is we can be more fruitful by the law of the sower from 2 Corinthians 9:6. And I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And the illustration here is 100-fold. Well, let's be that church that reaps bountifully as we sow bountifully. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just ask that we be a church that honors you, O Lord. That we be a fruitful church. That we be a gospel-sharing church. That we be a caring church. That we be a giving church. That we be a loving church. That we be a gentle church. O Lord, that we be a biblical church and be fruitful in all we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the privilege of remembering the Lord's death now. His death for us on the cross. If the men would come forward for our communion time. I appreciate our men. I really do. We have wonderful deacons, and we really have a great, great group of men, and I thank the Lord for them. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," this was the night before he was going to die, "took bread." Pastor Joe, if you would thank the Lord for his death for us, shown in the broken bread.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity, this privilege to remember the great plan you had. And that was to do away with the old burnt offerings of that and offer up your Son one time for all, the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring us to you, Father. So we thank you for his body that was broken, and truly by his stripes we are healed spiritually. And we thank you for this in your Son's precious and holy name. We come before you, Father. Amen.
If you're a visitor and you love the Lord, you've confessed your sin, you're welcome to partake with us. I remember the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." The great meaning in that song, because Jesus paid for your sin and mine on the cross. And I want you to hold the element until we all can partake together. And then we will remember the Lord's death, his broken body, for us as he paid the full penalty for your sin and mine. This is a time of very seriously considering our sin. But then it's a time of joy, remembering what Jesus did for us. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us remember the Lord together. The cracker is good, but remember for the Lord, that event was a terrible event where he had to bear your sin and mine, his body broken for us. In the same manner, he also took the cup. Deacon Dave, would you thank the Lord for his shed blood for us?
Heavenly Father, as we come once again before the Lord to partake of this remembrance of him, I think of the words of that wonderful, wonderful song. When I think of God not sparing, send him to die on the cross for my sin, shed his blood that I might be free from the sin and have everlasting life. And for those who believe, who've accepted Christ as their personal Savior, this is their future. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us to visualize that shed blood on the cross, that Christ who died for us, that we might live free from sin. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing thing God has done. At the great cost to Jesus of his own death on the cross, his own shed blood, and yet a gift free to you and me. The Bible says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, new agreement in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us remember the Lord as we partake together. Thank the Lord for his death, burial, and resurrection for us. He is our Savior.
Let's stand together as we close our service. Take your hymnals, your celebration hymnals, or the overhead behind us. Number 487, Room at the Cross for You, first verse only. Verse number one.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And his grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is the fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
If you haven't believed in Jesus, or you're not sure, you maybe feel, I'm not sure whether I actually made that transaction in my life, just talk to me afterwards. I'll be delighted to share with you the good news of how you can be sure you're part of the family of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your own Son and his death, burial, and resurrection for us. Thank you for the salvation we have, the eternal life we have in him. And now I do pray that you'll bless all these people as they go out and are fruitful this week for you. In Jesus' name, amen.